Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Look, if you will, in verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now, if you will, look at verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'll take this one little element of the Christmas story, and Lord, we're going to use it to look forward then into a brand new year. Lord, I pray, dear God, that some decisions would be made in the hearts of Christians today. I pray, Lord, that you would help those that are newly saved. It's exciting to look around the church house and see new converts, people that have just been saved for a few weeks. And Lord, we pray for them, dear God. We want to see them grow in grace and have victory in their Christian life. And so, Lord, this message is certainly for them. But Lord, it is also certainly for the rest of us, Lord, that we would from time to time stop and examine our lives. And we have a chance going into a new year. Lord, if there's a pattern, Lord, of backsliding that's happening in our lives, this is a good time of year to get that stopped and get it right and get it turned around. Lord, if there's a coldness when it comes to our relationship with you, this is a great time to just arrest that thing and stop it and get back close, Lord, and turn our hearts, our focus, our mind towards you. And so, Lord, as we prepare ourselves, both this Sunday, next Sunday, we'll be doing some preparation, Lord, for a brand new year. I just pray that you'll help us, Lord, to be properly fitted, Lord, for you and your service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. You probably noticed there was an element of the Christmas story that is found in every one of the verses that I read. We're going to focus this morning on the star. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 2, we read in there, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And then in verse number 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And then in verse number 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. How many of you believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? I don't think there's anything in the Bible that's not placed there from which we can learn some precepts and principles that will help us in our Christian life. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Be the star. Be the star. Christianity needs some stars. Not the kind of stars that the world wants you to become. It's amazing to me the reality shows that are on TV. There are millions of Americans at this point that have tried out for some of these or all of these reality shows. It seems like they want to get on American Idol. Why? Because I want to be a star. You know, let's get on The Voice. Why? Because I want to be a star. I want to get on America's Got Talent. Why? Because I want to be a star. Well, you know what? God wants you to be a star, but not that kind of a star. Christianity needs some biblical stars. Christianity doesn't need celebrities. You know what? We don't need divas. We don't need big shots. We don't need spotlight seekers. What we need are men and women who will take their cue from the Star of Bethlehem. We need Christians who will shine in a dark world. We need Christians who will be faithful in a world of no-shows. We need Christians who will draw people to Jesus instead of disgracing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we stand here at the doorway of a brand new year, I want to bring this to you. Listen, God is asking you Draw a circle around yourself. Forget the person to the left and right behind you, in front of you. I want you to think of this personally. God is asking you to be a star. I am challenging you as a preacher of the Word of God, as a pastor. We are in desperate need in Christianity of some young stars. Some young stars. And for some of us that are older stars to keep doing what we have been doing. Think about this. Your church needs you to be a star. I believe this. Wise men will follow a star. And I know this for sure. The lost world needs to see a star. Preacher, what can we learn from this Christmas star that will help us to prepare for a brand new year? Preacher, what does it mean to be a star in a biblical sense? Number one, stand out in a dark world. Stand out in a dark world. Listen to me. Stand out. Stop trying to blend in and stand out in a dark world. Matthew chapter 5, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Ye are the salt of the earth. But the salt have lost its savor. Wherewith shall we be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle. Think about this. And put it under a bushel. But on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you got saved, God lit a fire in you. God created a light in you. And you know what? Our job is to make sure we're letting that light shine. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. And I want to show you what that's talking about because I want you to see it. I want to illustrate for you. This is not a real candle. This is one of those electronic ones. First time I've seen these that have the wick that moves like that. I was totally fooled. Doesn't that look real? The way it flickers? Well, you know what? Before you were saved, you know what? You didn't have a light. But you know, the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, by the way, if you're not truly saved, you can make today the day that you receive Christ as your Savior. Hey, God's still accepting. God's still forgiving. God's still adopting. Come on now. You know what? He'll adopt you into his family today. But something happened. A light was put inside of you. And I want you to understand, you've got to decide now what you're going to do with that light, because that light is there. That light is there. And God uses a kind of a common sense, come on, common illustration. You don't light a candle. Why would you light a candle? And then put it under a bushel. But you put it on a candlestick and it gives light unto all that are in the house. And folks, when it gets dark, then we need the candles. And so we light the candles in the darkness. You got saved when you got saved for a reason. You know why? Because God put you in this generation to face these dark times. And never before in the history of our nation have we needed Christians to shine brighter than we do right now. Right now we need you to shine bright. So God lit a light in front of you. And you know what you ought to do? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What do you think about that? Wouldn't it be silly for me to light this morning and then say, okay, here. This will help some people. I'll just put it underneath here. And yet a lot of Christians have taken the light that God has given them and they've spiritually put it under a bushel. How can I dim the light? Now, folks, Jesus is the light of the world. He said that. He laid claim to that title. He said, I am the light of the world. Then he turned around his disciples and said, you're the light of the world. I'm getting ready to check out of here. Guess what? You're going to have to shine for me. Folks, listen to me. The more we are like Jesus Christ, the brighter we shine. Jesus said, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was sent by God. And the Word was God. Jesus Christ and the Word of God are synonymous. Let me say this. The more you live by this book, the brighter you shine. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We need some stars. Hey, there's enough darkness. Why are you trying to become darkness? Come on, there's enough worldliness. Why are you becoming more and more worldly? You know what you're doing? You're doing this. I mean, what's driving you to become more like the world, to dress more like the world, to act more like the world, to be more like the world. Why is it that when you go out into the world, down deep in your heart, you hope nobody knows that you're a Christian? Isn't the time to get over that and get back to this idea of it's time to let my light shine? Think about this. That's what it's about. It's letting your light shine. The Bible doesn't finish there. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus said, no man, when he lighteth a candle, cover it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light, that they may see the light. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, be the light. Be the light. If you're going to be the star, you have to be the light. What does that mean? That means that we need people to decide to be holy in an unholy world. Holy in an unholy world. Unholiness produces darkness. Holiness produces light. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So when you choose to live a holy life, that means a life set apart unto God, separated unto God, unlike the sinfulness of this world, then you know what? You turn the amperage up on your life. You increase the wattage of the light. You give people more things to see, a better chance to see Christ in you. I just want to encourage you, learn as you grow in your Christian life to be holy in all manner of conversation. Be holy. Why? Because he's holy. Speak truth in a dishonest world. You know what we need? We need Christians to get back to telling the truth again. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put off on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What am I saying? Let's get ready for a new year. Preacher, it's getting dark out there. Yes, and so many Christians are getting dark along with it. It's not time to put the candle underneath the vessel. It's not time to put the candle underneath the bed. Got a little light in you. You go into areas that I won't go into. They need a light. You work at places other people don't work at. They need a light. Every single person in this community, as we disperse from this room, they ought to have a chance to see in us the light of Jesus Christ in all that we say and all that we do. So let's live holy and let's speak the truth. How about this? Be clean in a filthy world. I'm talking about practical things here. What does that mean? That means you clean up your life when you're a Christian. You clean your life up. These are certain things that you need to just get rid of. Certain things that don't need to be in your vocabulary anymore. One man said this, the day I got saved, I lost half my vocabulary. Well, you know what? Some people, when they get saved, need to lose half their vocabulary. But you know what? They can learn a way to replace that vocabulary with a whole new way of speaking. Just clean up your life. Come on, clean it up. There's places you used to go. You shouldn't go anymore. Come on, there's people you hung out with you shouldn't hang out with anymore. What's it called? It's called being the light. Being the light. What I found out is this. If you'll go strong for God, you know what? You won't have to give up your friends. They'll give up you. If you're always shining, you know what? They'll either be drawn to the light or they'll scurry out. But you know what? Be the light. Be the light. Be moral. Well, we need to say this as loud as we can from the housetop. Be moral in an immoral world. My King James Holy Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. What are we talking about? I'm talking about being lights. How in the world is the world going to see Jesus Christ in us if we can't be moral? Come on now, husbands. Be faithful to your wives. Wives, be faithful to your husband. Preacher, you're talking to church people. I need to talk to church people. Craziness is happening in our churches. We've been somehow convinced by the devil that immoral behavior is, it can be somehow meshed into our Christian life. It cannot. And it should not be named even one time among us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for you know not what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond to defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also forewarned you and testify. Listen, married folks, let's be faithful to our marriage partner. Young people, be patient and wait. And you know what? Learn how to possess your body in sanctification and honor. Stay pure and clean until you walk down the aisle and marry the person God has for you. I mean, I'm hearing reports of widespread immorality. Listen to me. Being tolerated in our Christian schools across America. Tolerated. I had one principal years ago tell me I couldn't remember the last time we graduated a virgin out of a Christian school. I'd shut the thing down and start over again because there's poison in the pot there. Now, young people, this whole thing about everybody's doing it's a lie of the devil. Everybody's not doing it. I this past year, crisscrossed, preached a number of places across the country and everywhere I land. Let me tell you something. There's good, clean, moral, patient young people who are praying and waiting for God's perfect will in a marriage partner. And you know what? God in his time, using in his will, can bring these people together and are bringing these people together. Don't fall for the lie of the devil. Don't fall for the lie of the devil. Let's be moral in an immoral world. Let's be modest in an immodest world. The Bible still says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Think about this. You know what? I was reminded of the importance of our Christian ladies. Let me just stop and say this. Christian ladies, we need modesty. We need you to shine bright in an immodest world. Okay, we don't follow the hemline according to what the world's doing. We keep ourselves modest before the Lord. You know, there was a lost man once. I'm going to share this conversation. Because people act like, well, it don't matter how we dress. It doesn't matter how we dress. It doesn't matter how you dress. I worked a job at a sawmill in Clay City, Indiana, right here in our area, when I first moved down here after Bible college. And I worked at a sawmill. I'm trying to win this young man to the Lord. His name was John. And so I built a friendship with him, a relationship with him. Took him out to eat a couple of times. Began to talk to him about the Lord. You know what he said after I talked to him about the Lord a couple of times? He finally said, let me ask you something. What denomination are you? And I said, Baptist. And he went like that. And he said, I don't think you have anything to tell me or teach me. And I said to myself, John, what are you talking about? He said, I live across the street from a Baptist church. Come on, in Clay City, Indiana. This is a lost guy. This is a guy that wasn't raised in church. This is a guy that doesn't own a Bible. This is a guy that couldn't talk to you and tell you about any doctrine of the Word of God. And he said, I go out there on Saturdays and there's two ladies that mow the grass at the Baptist church over there. And they show up in shorts and halter tops and mow the grass at the Baptist church. He said, I thought they were probably hired. So I stopped and talked to them one day and they said, oh no, we're members here. We volunteer to do this. Now here's a lost man that won't give me the time of day. When it comes to listening how to be saved, you know why? Because even a lost man knows that if you are a Christian and a Christian woman, then you ought to understand what modesty is all about. And you ought to dress differently than the world. Now, this needs to be said. I'm saying this to some folks that are newly saved, and the honest truth is you've never heard this preached before, and let me just say this, I love you. We love you and we accept you where you're at, but you know what? I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't help you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this kind of preaching, yes, it's for new converts, but I'm always, it seems like, need to preach from time to time, just pull people back to where they used to be just a handful of years ago. Has the Bible changed? Because the fashions have changed? Come on, what about this matter of modesty? Come on, gentlemen, it's not just the women. Us men need to lead in this example. Okay, you know what? I don't want to see their thighs, and I don't really want to see your thighs either. Excuse me. It's both nakedness before the Lord. So what? That's why, we Preston Hope Baptist Church, extreme. Well, you know what? It's amazing because everybody was extreme back in 1950 when every denomination preached this. But because we have moved the same way the rest of Christianity has moved, all of a sudden we're radical now. I'm just talking about modesty, folks. Some of you young ladies ride the bus. I know that you're not taught this. Some of you are not taught this in your home. Some of you newly saved. But you know what? I want you to look around. Watch this. Stop looking at Hollywood. Stop looking at divas. Stop looking at singing celebrities. Stop watching all of the worldly shows that you watch and looking for them as an example of how to dress, and come to the church house and look to the ladies, the Christian ladies of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and understand you can learn from them how you ought to dress and how you ought to please the Lord in this matter of the way you dress. Look to Christian ladies. Christian ladies, did you hear me? What are they going to see from your example? By the way, what are they going to see tomorrow from your example? Or Wednesday from your example? They run into you at Walmart. What are you saying? I'm saying America is going to hell. Everybody knows it. The churches are all sitting there wringing their hands. And the whole time we're wringing our hands, we're allowing our families to become more and more worldly. We're as much a part of the problem. Hey, why don't we in 2022 just decided to be the star? It's time to be the star again. It's time to shine bright again. Okay, stop. Time to get the candle out from underneath the table. Stop hiding it under a bushel and hold it up and say, I am unashamedly a born-again, biblical Christian. And hold it high. Be the star. Be the star. Think about this. We okay? Be modest in an immodest world. How about this? Let's be gender specific in a gender confused world. Gender specific in a gender confused world. I don't need to sell you on that. If you can read, or if you watch any news, or you listen to any story, it's amazing to me what's being crammed down our throats by that stupid television set and commercials and all of the nonsense. We're supposed to just bobblehead all this craziness. Okay, I mean, they're trying to tell you there's more than two genders. You know, in California, they've identified, now it's counted up over 120 different genders. I mean, have fun choosing. I mean, you know, got 120 different choices. No, male and female created he them. That's spoken three times in the scripture, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's only two genders. Okay, and that's determined by biology, not by how your brain feels on any given day. Let's be gender specific. How do you be the light? Come on, how do you be the light? Got a whole, come on, semi-loads of Christians that are jumping into the darkness in this arena. Becoming the darkness. Okay? Imagine if I just decided after all these years, I'm not watching Christian ladies that have dressed gender specific, Christian men dressed gender specific for their, you know, for 30 years, and all of a sudden they just decided that, well, I'm going to read it to you because you might as well hear it. Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. They're not committing an abomination, the Bible says. They become an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Okay, that's still in there. Can you imagine the shock? Jerry Ross decided tomorrow that I'm just going to walk into Walmart with a skirt on. That'll be a modest skirt. Come on, I'm not compromising. I'm not compromising completely. Come on. I'm going to get Tom Walton to go with me. Me and Tom Walton. Well, you talk about giving Green County something to talk about, man. In fact, the emergency room will be filled with people. Come on. What if I said, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, hey, you know what? I know we've always had these dress standards, but I'll tell you what. I really feel like that some of our men are being oppressed. And I feel like some things that are accepted that didn't used to be accepted. So our men's Sunday school teachers during the week, now on Sundays I still want you to wear a slacks and a suit and a tie, but during the week, if you want to wear a dress or a skirt, then that's okay. You know, let's sign up for that. Come on, let's do that in your church. Come on, in your church, your Christian school. Let's do it. Well, what are you upset about? You got a verse? I didn't say if you got a half a verse. I said, do you have a verse? Why is this so clear when we get to this? And by the way, it's not as clear as it used to be. Okay, now we got men, young boys, showing up to school, informing their teacher that they're no longer a boy. They want to be called by a girl's name. We've got people that are working in our job. I mean, right here, men and women that are working in jobs that are having to attend classes so that they can be trained which pronouns is appropriate to use and not use in addressing some of their fellow employees. Say, preacher, I just don't know how we got here. I do. Started in the church house. Started when, come on, I lived it, 1961. I was born, grew up in the 60s and 70s. Come on, started with Mary Tyler Moore, Lucille Ball. Come on. That's where it started. All of a sudden, the American female decided to get liberated. Then the 1970s, the Now Movement, Women's Lib, I am woman, hear me roar. Well, that roar was the devil's roar. That's where the roar came from, the roaring lion. What are you saying? I'm saying, why don't you study history? Why don't you understand? But just because the majority of Christians today are compromisers, the majority are carnal, the majority are worldly, why are you wanting to sign up and become like that crowd? What are you saying? Be the star! That's what I'm saying. Just be the star. Folks, this star accomplished something that night that was important, and it had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get to that. How about that? When you do these things, by the way, when you live godly in an ungodly world, when you do these things, you help preserve our nation. Folks, this is what it's about. You become the salt. You become the light. When you fail to do these things, you help destroy our nation. When you do these things, you provide light to our nation. When you fail to do these things, you place your candle under a bushel. Our nation is plunged in darkness. Our nation's in trouble. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. There's a reason we got to where we are now. Is there hope? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Come on, proud young lady, proud young man. All that pride up in you. No one's telling me what to do. No one's telling me how to dress. Think about this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I'm going to say this, if righteousness exalteth the nation and sin is a reproach to any people, it's unpatriotic. It's unpatriotic to live a sinful, worldly, carnal Christian life. Come on, clean up our lives. Are you smoking and you're a Christian? It's time to quit smoking. If you're chewing tobacco and you're a Christian, it's time to quit chewing tobacco. If you're smoking pot, say, well, preach it, we're in church. Yes, we're in church. I go to many, 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 many states. From the time I land and drive around and the time I spend there, I pass 100 different storefront stores that are selling different types of marijuana and different ways that they, I don't understand all of it. I ended up in one of those stores one time by accident, but Now that I've said it, I got to tell the story because people online and people watching later on. I went to Alaska. Me and Doug Castle went to Alaska, and there's a guy that is a co-pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Fairbanks named Ryan Gray. Seems like a good guy till you really get to know him, you know. Wanted to take us out to eat after the Sunday night service. So we went out to eat after Sunday night service, and then we were kind of in a strip mall there, and there were two doors beside each other, and one was the door to the restaurant. The other one was the door to a place they sell marijuana. And he's talking to us and keeping our attention. We're walking over, and he opens the door. And we thought it's the door of the restaurant. Me and Doug go in. He said, "I'll be in a minute." And he shuts the door. And I thought, well, he's going to wait for somebody else to. So we go over into the second door. We stand there at a counter there. And we're kind of looking around. And I think, man, this doesn't look like a restaurant. And I'm thinking, well, around the corner there at the end, maybe that's where all the. And they're like, "Can we help you?" And I said, "Well, we're waiting for our friend. He told us to wait in here. Are you businessmen?" "Oh, no, we're Baptist preachers. And they're looking at each other, and we're looking at each other. We're getting this feeling like not everything's right, you know. And finally, I'm looking around. I'm looking, thinking, wait a minute. And so I told Doug, "Let's go find Ryan." And we go out, and him and two or three other families of the church are just waiting in the parking lot. We come walking out of a marijuana store. Now, thank God none of them had a phone out. I mean, it's a miracle that none of them had a phone out. Or there'd been, visual incriminating evidence against your pastor. But what is wrong with us? Now, some of you right here, you maybe don't smoke, but you're already mentally being programmed. You'll defend it. Okay? You say, well, you know, God made it. Well, he made cockle burls too. Do you take a handful of them and chew on them? You know, it's amazing what Christian people making excuses. Don't you understand what's happening? Don't you understand how easy it is to take over a population when we're all medicated up and drugged up and all of us are addicted to things that if the government turns them off, how are we going to get through another day? Come on now. What I'm saying is this: be the light, be the light, be the light, be the star. Number one. That was just number one. Number one. Stand out in a dark world. Number two, stay faithful in a fickle world. Stay faithful in a fickle world. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, that star decided that it was going to shine bright. Be a bright star. But also, number two, be in your place. And the story of the wise men found in Matthew chapter 2, consistent. Come on, think about this. We find a consistent. One constant. Here's the star. Here's the star. It's there. It's there. It's there. It's guiding them. The element of that, the one consistent, constant element in that story is the star. Verses 2, verse 7, verse 9, verse 10. I won't read them again. This star was in its place. Think about this, church, as we go into 2022. Was in its place doing what God had asked it to do. And because it was faithful to God's will, its faithfulness produced exceedingly great joy. In verse number 10, Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find a faithful man. How about this verse? Blessed hope, you ought to know it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. Most people, they sleep in on Sundays. Be the exception. Be the exception. Be faithful. Most Christians don't attend all the services of their church. Be the exception. Be faithful. Say, preacher, many Christians don't participate in the evangelistic outreaches of their church. Be the exception. Be the faithful. Many Christians don't give tithes and offerings to their church. Be the exception. Be the faithful. Most Christians don't finish the race. I hate to say that, but that's becoming more and more true. I'm motivated by the Apostle Paul and what he said at the end of his life. He first of all talked to a young preacher and he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, preach the word. By the way, that's what's being preached this morning. It's the word. It's in Jerry Ross's opinion. This is God's word that's being preached this morning. Okay. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Oh, wait a minute. God's real plain right there. He said, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. Time will come. Not everybody's going to endure sound doctrine. Not everybody's going to go to the church where the preacher preaches the word of God and preaches on godliness and holiness and separation and modesty. Who would have thought that Christians would be bucking back against the idea of dressing gender specifically? And yet it seems to be one of the greatest hot button issues that causes more anger and more people to leave good churches than anything else. Crazy what I've seen a woman give up for a pair of pants. And what a man's given up for a pair of shorts. It's crazy. What I've watched their lives turn into just because of one article clothes that they will not give in to and give up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go find a teacher to itch my ears. Wait a minute, there's going to be another one group. Yeah, those people are out there. I could call their names if I was mean enough. But there's another group. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered. Time my departure is at hand. Paul said, this is the end of my road. I've fought a good fight. Watch this. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Just be faithful. Church, let's be faithful going into 2022. Be faithful. You ever notice God sprinkles into your life people that just take every excuse away from you for not being faithful? Happened to me as a college student. Here I'd been a Bible college student for just a couple years, joined the bus ministry, and one of the roommates that was assigned to my room was a guy by the name of Jay. And Jay, every single morning when he got up, first thing he had to do was take metal braces and strap them from his ankle all the way up to his thigh on both legs. He would then wrestle to get himself stood up, and he had one of those crutches on this hand, crutch on this hand, the one that has the little arm holder thing like this, and he would head on out into his day like that. In Bible college, studying to be a preacher, on weekends, he decided he'd join the bus ministry. He'd catch a ride up to Chicago. You know what's involved with that. Can you picture Jay? Here he is, dropped off in Chicago. We'll pick you back up in 5 hours. You know what he did? He took those crutches. You could hear him coming down the street, clank, and then he'd swing those legs. And that metal on the bottom of his shoes would go clank, and he'd go clank, 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 clank. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. 5 hours. The time he got done. By the way, I saw the effects. I was his roommate. I saw what it did to his body every single day just to go out on Saturday visitation. I told him some Saturdays. I said, Jay, maybe you ought to cut back a little bit. He said, nope. As long as God gives me the strength to do it, I'm going to do it. He said, Jerry, I know what the prognosis is. I know where this is leading. I know the end of this story. I'm not going to be able to always do this, but I can now. So if I can now, I'm going to now. He said, don't ever tell me to cut back. You know, sometimes when I want to use an excuse, I just keep hearing clank, 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 clank. Sorry, preacher couldn't make it Sunday night. And I watched Ruth English make it. I watched my dad walk through that side door right there and right over to that second pew with a tumor in his head the size of a walnut. But as long as he was physically able to, you know what he did? He came to church till he couldn't come again, till he couldn't come at all. Excuse me, remind me about your hangnail again. How hard it is for you to just be here every service. Come on, what are we doing? These people that I mentioned, and many more that I could mention from this pulpit, shined as bright lights and gave a younger generation, of which I was a part, an example of what a star, the right kind of star, was supposed to be in Christianity. And you know what? Every time I think I've got a reason not to be here, there's just too many other people I know showing up that's got bigger reasons than I had to stay home. I understand, folks, physically, there's times when you can't come to church. And by the way, physically, sometimes I don't want to see you come to church, especially if you're contagious. Come to church and share the blessings. I get it. I'm not being unreasonable, but I think that our reasons are slowly, come on, evolving into excuses and excuses and excuses. Come on, are you all of a sudden hit miss on Wednesday night? Or have you quit altogether? All of a sudden, are you hit miss on Sunday night? Going to be, man, maybe about a 50-50 chance. We'll see how it goes. Folks, don't you think I've watched this before? Don't you think I know? Don't you think I've seen this a million times? When I didn't fall off the turnip truck, I drove it in the parking lot. This is what people do. They just begin to come. If you can justify one level of unfaithfulness, soon you'll justify another level of unfaithfulness. By the way, this is the same with immodesty. It's the same with every other area of your life. Well, we're just going to allow this. Come see me in 3 years and let me see if that's all you allowed. I'm sorry, but you're talking to an old warrior. I've been doing this a long time. You're bringing that nonsense to the wrong person. If you can start justifying unfaithfulness to Sunday school, pretty soon you'll justify unfaithfulness to Sunday morning. What I'm saying is this. Hey, you know what? Are you wavering in those areas? Let's be the star again. Let's be the star again. As you are able, as your health allows. And I understand we have people with chronic situations. I get it. And you know what's sad? The people that absolutely do have, Brother Levi, the greatest reason not to be here are usually here. And they're the ones that feel guilty when I'm preaching on this, and the person that doesn't have any kind of a reason is the one that's still out there making excuses. Hey, you know what? I can save you from everything but yourself. But I could just encourage you one more time. Be the star. Be the star. Number three, spend your 2022 showing Christ to a lost world. Now, this is why we take the star and use them as an example. Verse number 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Preacher, why be a bright light? So that people can find Jesus. Why be faithful? So that people can find Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Why be a bright light? So people can find Jesus. Okay? Carnality doesn't bring people to Jesus. Compromise doesn't bring people to Jesus. Unfaithfulness doesn't bring people to Jesus. Remember my dad standing here behind this pulpit and looking you in the eye and telling you this story, how he had a tract that Jerry Purcell gave him. On that back of that tract was printed out the times of the services. And when he was asking my dad to come to church, a lost man at that time, he'd go over and he'd take the curtain on Sunday mornings and he'd look when it was time for church to see if their vehicle was still in the parking lot or not. He'd go there on Sunday night. He'd go there on Wednesday night. I'm sorry, unfaithfulness does not win people to Christ. Carnality and worldliness does not win people to Christ. It don't work that way. And you know what? People who are following you are following you to where you're going. And if you're going away from Christ, you are pulling people away from Jesus Christ. But if you're going towards Christ, you know what? You got influence and you can bring people with you. How about saying this? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen, I'll be done. I got lost locally here in the woods one time. I got lost. Me and Bo Eichelman wanted to check out a piece of property. He'd been given permission to hunt. So Brother Bo said, why don't you come with me? At that point in time, his health was a little suspect, and I was glad to go with him. And so we went back there and scouted it out. He said, Jerry, I'm not going to be able to go much this year, but you go on back there anytime you want to. And brand new piece of property. A lot of times, everything in rural America is on 1 mile grids, most of it is. So it's a little hard to get lost. I mean, come on, pick a direction until you hit a gravel road. You're okay. But this particular piece of property, we actually walked almost 3 miles back into the woods, and it was into some of the old reclaimed stripper hills, the coal company had left. And I'm going to tell you something. You can get turned around real quick back in there, especially in the dark. And I went back there by myself, over 3 miles hike back to this area, but super good area to hunt deer. And I got up in the tree and I reached in my pocket and realized I forgot my flashlight. And I thought, well, I think I'm pretty much, I figured out in my mind how I could get out of there. I thought, I'll get down a little bit before light. That way I can get most of the way there. But man, then the deer start coming in. You hunters know sometimes those deer get underneath you. And you'd like to get down. But if you get down, you'll bust them out. And then you're going to ruin the place. So what'd you do? I stayed. Of course, there's some things more important. Whether or not you get home again or not. So I'm up in that tree and I'm up in that tree. And finally I hear the deer meander out. And all of a sudden I look up. Cloudy night, overcast night. Moon's not out, can't see a star. It is black. It is dark. I'm feeling around. What did I do with that? Check my backpack. I had that light. What did I do with that? Must have taken it out. I said, all right, I know if I head this way, if I find this one row of hills here, I can walk along the edge of that hill. And I took off in the direction. I kept trying to look over, kept trying to see. And pretty soon I got myself turned around. By the way, this is what the average person in the world, this is their life right now. This is their spiritual life right now. They think they got under control. They think they know where they're going. They think they can get out of what they've got themselves into. And pretty soon they are so lost. They're so lost. And I mean to the point where I'm like, you know what? Temperature's dropping, Brother Nathan. It's going to be a cold night. I got on a jacket, but not the one I wish I had if I'm going to spend the night. And I think to myself, how am I going to get out of here? And they always tell you, you've got to be careful about just keep walking because, you know, you can be walking in the wrong direction. I said, I'm going to go a little farther. I think I'd try to redirect myself, try to find something familiar. And finally, as I got to walking, I just saw for a second something looked like a flashlight. And I thought, my wife has called Tom Walton to come find me. And I thought I saw a flashlight. As I'm walking and I see this light and I see it flickering through the woods. Now, this is another optical illusion if you've never experienced it in the dark in the woods. And I'm like, there's somebody that's got a light and they're looking for me. So I'd stop. And when I stop, they'd stop. When I start moving, they're moving the flashlight again. Well, what you don't realize when you're moving, there's trees and stuff that are blocking the light and it makes it look like somebody's, I'm hollering, hello! I finally realized it's not somebody, the flashlight, it's a security light at the back of a house, and it's way off. I mean, I could barely see it. Sometimes I'd get to the point where I'd have too much stuff between me and it, and I'd lose sight of it. Sometimes I'd dip into a little bit of a holler, and I wouldn't be able to see it. I'd come back, and I'd have to move to the right or move to the left, and I'd find it again. And you know what I did? I just kept heading towards that light. Hey, you know what I needed? I needed a light. I just needed one light. If I just had one light, are you listening to me? Well, I don't want to be a star. Who's out there that needs one light? No, I don't want to be separated. Who needs your light? Hey, I know this is going to be shocking to some of you. It's not about you. It's number one about God. It's number two about others. I just needed a light. And you know what? I'd lose sight of the light some. But you know what? If I kept going and I kept working at it, I'd find it again. It wasn't a very bright light, but it was a light. Because it was so dark, I didn't even need a very bright one. Listen, I don't know where you are in your Christian life. Could you just grow a little? Could you make some steps? Could you get it a little brighter? You say, preacher, why didn't you have to spend a night in cold wood? Why were you able to get to where there was help? Because somebody didn't turn off the light. Be the star. Young people, be the star. Young men, be the star. Young couples, come on. What's crept in? Come on, are you one of these Christians? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, most of Wednesday night, sometimes Thursday. Oh, maybe Thursday for a moment or two. Friday, come on now. Come on. Come on. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's a dark old world. A lot of people wandering. Down deep inside of them, they're scared. They know that they've lost their way. They're off track. They just need a light. Here's some wise men bearing precious gifts. They want to give them to the king, but they needed a light. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us as we go into a brand new year to just make up our minds. I don't care what the rest of the world is doing or isn't doing. I don't care what the evangelicals are doing. I don't care what backslidden Christians on Facebook are posting. It's time for me to be a star. Time for me to shine bright. Time for me to be faithful. Time for me to be a witness. Bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.